call the meeting in order. All please rise. Join in the salute to our flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You may be seated. The clerk will now take the roll call.
Councilmember Watson.
Present.
Councilmember Hansen.
Here.
Councilmember Olson.
Here.
Councilmember Ingram.
Here.
Councilmember Mutchler. Councilmember Birch.
Here.
Councilmember Goodrich.
Here.
Okay, before we go into public comment, a change in the agenda. The executive session is canceled for tonight. Our city administrator is not available, nor is our attorney available. So
nobody's
available. So that has been rescheduled to the October 5th meeting. So eat your Wheaties before the October 5th meeting because it may be later. Okay, so next up on the agenda is the public comment period. This is the period where members of the audience can come to the podium and speak to the council that anything is not on tonight's agenda. So if it's not on tonight's agenda, you'd like to address the council, we would love to hear from you. Any takers? Any takers? Okay, apparently we have one. Welcome, sir. Welcome, sir. We've never heard from you ever before.
Right. But it's the first time, Mike, that's fine. I'm Papa John, and I still live in Malloy House, 6072 Malloy. And I have three things tonight. The first thing I want to do is to, I don't know if you noticed or not, but I want to thank my good friend, Keith, for the additional promotion that I got. As I understood it, when I asked through several of you to tell everybody that I wouldn't be here last night because it was on a Tuesday, and I have a ministry on a Tuesday, to ask for be excused. That Keith thought that was such a great idea that I should have a permanent pass on not being here. So I wanted to thank him for my additional promotion. As you remember, at one time I was a major headache from it all the way up to general nuisance. Now, for the first time in history, I am a 6-star general nuisance. 5-star is so last century. So, Keith, thank you so much, because I'm the first in history, as far as I know, to wear 6 stars on each shoulder, or C stars, whichever comes first. Okay, so thank you very much for this promotion. Now, I take it as a great honor to be the first 6-star general nuisance probably ever. Thanks. And then I also, but I wanted to let you know, because I talked to the chief today, and I don't want him to eat his heart out, so I brought him some extra stars that he can put on his uniform. I'll give this to him before I leave. He can even pick his own color. I'm sure that should be okay, right? Because I don't want him to feel bad, you know. Now, the little bit of humor, and it'll probably be Keith very little. But apparently, this is a true story. Billy Graham, when he was first started preaching, went to a small town and asked a young boy where the post office was because he wanted to mail a letter. And then he said to the young boy, I'm going to be preaching at the Baptist church tonight, and if you'll come, I'll show you the way to heaven. Well, the little boy said, I don't think I will, because you don't even know the way to the post office. I told you a little bit of humor. And then food for thought, this would be just two more food for thought things, okay? Well, this is meant to be points to ponder, food for thoughts. You are, each of you, much more than just a dash between dates. And the second point is, the journey is not the destination. Thank you. By request, I will be here next time.
Thank you. Anyone else for the open comment period? Tough act to follow? No. Good. Okay, moving on. So I'm going to close the regular council meeting at 6:04:12. And we're going to open up the Transportation Benefit District Board meeting at the same time. And before you is the Transportation Benefit District Consent Agenda. It includes the budget update and a claims run.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved by Councilperson Olson, seconded by Councilperson Goodrich. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? That motion carries 7-0. So at 6:04:46, we will close the Transportation Benefit District meeting and open up the regular meeting, and before you is the regular council agenda.
Move to approve.
Second.
Okay, moved by Councilperson Ingram, seconded by Councilperson Birch. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Seeing none, motion carries 7-0. Okay, I have on my agenda introduction of a new police officer, but I don't see the new police officer. Okay, let's, you know, this is, you know, so we put this to three times. So,
yeah.
Does the police department go by baseball rules? Okay, so we'll move into capital projects update, and we welcome Katie Ratter to the podium. Welcome, Katie.
Thank you. I'm really glad not to have to follow the chief. He seems to speak or he always makes me look bad. So, anyway, we have a few things to give you an update on. Good evening, council. First on my list is pump station 4. You remember that's the sanitary sewer pump station that the city has there on Smith Road. At La Bounty. As of the last update, we've started work. The contractor needed to relocate about 120 feet of existing water line so this they could put in the new wet well. The city actually scheduled that work for a Saturday so it wouldn't, the water shut off, so it wouldn't impact service with some of the nearby businesses, and that went pretty well despite the windstorm that was going on that day.
What was that weekend?
Yeah, it was kind of wild out there. Yeah. So the water line got relocated, got that back up and running. The new 8-inch diameter wet well has been installed. It's pretty deep. The base is actually about 2 feet below sea level, so the total depth on that is like 29 feet when it's all done. Last week, the contractor cut in a new bypass port, and that work actually required us shutting down the sewer system, which always makes me a little bit nervous when you're not able to pump sewage. So we had a kind of a multi-departmental effort there with the contractor while they trucked sewage out of the plant or the pump station to the plant, and that went really well. So we've also installed a new manhole, and they're awaiting the delivery of the pumps. They're thinking that's going to be the first part of October. So we're still pretty much on schedule, a little bit beyond the initial 23rd of October date that we had for completion, but it should be done before November for sure. So I hope anybody has any questions about that.
Last question, Goodrich.
You said the new well is only 8 inches wide?
8 feet.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry if I said that.
I was thinking it's kind of a skinny little thing.
No, it's an 8-foot diameter.
But it's deep.
Yeah, it is skinny and deep.
Sorry about that. Okay, next on the list is the Molloy Sewer Replacement Project. Last council meeting, you guys awarded that that contract. And that will replace and upsize the sanitary sewer main on Molloy between Oxford and Thornton and then go a couple hundred feet down the dead end of Thornton on the east side of Molloy. And so that sewer main is actually getting upgraded from an 8-inch to 15-inch. So the work will include some weekend and night work to access the sewer manhole that's fairly deep at that intersection. We have been working with Sampson Rope as far as their operations go. They work pretty much 24/7 except for sometimes on weekends they can cut off their overtime. So we've been working with them to schedule that. And during the construction, there will also be a detour route. It's going to be very hard to get traffic in and out. So that detour includes sending traffic up Thornton, Vista, Alder Grove, and around to Molloy. Letters last week were sent out to neighbors and folks that live kind of in that impacted area. And I got a telephone call from a gentleman today, and we had a pretty good discussion about the detour and all that. So we're doing what we can to inform folks. I talked to the contractor earlier today. We've got a pre-construction meeting scheduled for tomorrow morning, so I was just talking to them about what they think their tentative start date will be, and we're estimating probably work will start on October 5th, the week of October 5th. Questions about that? Right. Next on the list is the Main Street pavement repair and then the other crack sealing that's going to be done. If you you remember, Main Street, basically 3rd Avenue to Barrett Road, plus then the alternates for Thornton between Della and Church, and then Church to Marine, plus then Vista from Thornton Road to the roundabout there in front of the high school will be done for crack sealing. Main Street actually includes some full dig outs of the pavement, some grinding, some overlay. We'll be adjusting some of the manhole lids on Main Street to make it a better ride there. So I talked to the contractor as well today. We don't have a reconstruction until later this week, but they anticipate actually starting on the crack seal portions first, Thornton Road, Vista Drive, and then working to Main Street. They've got kind of an interesting plan of attack. They've got the dream team of construction set up where they're pulling in traffic control folks from Colapurcho. Walken Builders is actually the prime on this. So Colapurcho, they handled the traffic control for Church Road, and they were great to work with, in my opinion. And then they're pulling together their other subs. So they're going to work on some of these less traveled roads first to kind of make sure everything's clicking the way they need to, and then attack Main Street. And then when they get to Main Street, they'll start actually on this end of town and work their way east. So I talked to them about when they thought that they would start construction, and it'll probably be sometime the first part of October. They're working out some of those details. Should take about 2 weeks, and that's weather dependent, obviously. They're hoping to get Main Street, all the work on Main Street done in about a week. So there will be some traffic impacts, I'm sure. You guys have some questions.
Okay. Is Slater going to be done before they start doing Main Street?
I don't know. I can check with the county. And get back to you. Councilmember Ingram had asked a little bit earlier in the budget work session about the LED conversion. If you remember, TIB is actually partnering with IntuLight to pay to convert at no cost to the city's their regular standard street lights with LED lights. Now, that process is going to be fairly lengthy. It's a 6-year conversion process. Originally, the program will address the small cities first, and that's under 5,000 population, and so we're bigger than that. So they're estimating that we will see that conversion happen sometime in the next 2 to 3 years, so it'll be a little while. But that's going to know about that. I also heard that when they do start with the medium-sized cities, they'll kind of start from the north and work their way south, though. So we're higher on the list for medium-sized cities than others. Some of the other projects that we have that are in the design process is, first of all, the Labounty sewer that will replace about 1,200 linear feet of sanitary sewer, basically from where the co-op is there at I-5 on Labounty to Hagen. There will also be some stormwater improvements, probably some street repairs. So we're looking at bidding that out a little bit later this year. For 2016 construction, we're looking at Washington Street. The city received Safe Routes to Schools funding, and that's from Vista to 3rd. So we're working on getting the design underway for that. And Central City, or the city received a Drinking Water State Revolving Fund loan, which will, if we complete the project to their satisfaction in a certain amount of time, then half of that loan amount will be forgiven. So we're working on design for that as well for construction next year. Thornton Road extension, and that's the overpass over BNSF. We're still working on preliminary engineering, including doing some surveying
we talked with a couple of property owners there to get rights of entry to do some soil sampling, which will happen in early October. And then that will push that that much farther forward so they can determine, you know, the footprint of the bridge and the design and all that sort of thing. I know Wendy's working on getting a design underway for the, we're calling it the Gateway Main Street North conveyance system. That's basically from Main Street North to the Nooksack River along Riverside Drive there. So she's working on getting that design underway. And we're also working on doing a design for the Thornton Road sewer extension, which is will tie into the project that we will start during the next couple of weeks, take the sewer down Thornton under the railroad tracks, tie in to the roundabout at Portal Way. As part of that project, we're also looking at extending a leg of sewer up parallel to BNSF North and tying into the Malloy Village pump station and hopefully being able to abandon that pump station and get that offline so that it'll all be a gravity-fed sewer system.
Any questions of Katie?
Busy.
Thank you.
Seems like we're doing a lot of sewer. Tonight.
Okay, next up on the agenda is, this is an ordinance, and it's Community Center Advisory Board, now to be called CCAB, I guess. And Riley will lead us in that effort.
Hello. So, this is the ordinance to create the CCAB board. Just a quick note that Councilman Goodrich pointed out, there is a typo in the first, in one of the lines under member appointments, where it says, the board shall consist of seven, scratch that, five members. Tried to excise all descriptions that said seven, and of course, missed the first one. So you guys have discussed this now in two different committees, and both the committees kind of came to the same conclusion, which is this would be an advisory board of five people with two members that would be designated representatives from 501c3s here in Ferndale, and one member that's from either the Old Settlers Association or the Ferndale Heritage Society, and then two members of the public. And then the Chamber of Commerce in the city would be non-voting advisory sort of seats on the council. It's in front of you, and I'm here to answer any questions or clarifications.
Councilperson Olson?
Did anybody in the committee discuss on the rules of meetings there? They're going to establish their own rules for the transaction of its business. Are somebody from the city going to observe or oversee those rules, or... Yeah. Are they going to come to us? Because there's nothing in here that says that.
So that's the same language as the PERTAP board, which also has the, creates their own rules business. I will be the, if this is created, I'll be the staff member there, and I'll bring a set of basic, you know, Robert's rules sort of organizational stuff.
And then you will do their minutes and be their liaison. And
The whole nine yards. I will staff the committee.
So... I mean, and then, so while the, before they do that, though, then once they establish those, you the council, will have to approve those rules.
Yeah, doesn't say that.
I'm looking at 2.20.050.
You approve the bylaws. Well, it should. I mean, council approved the bylaws of the PERTEP. They basically come back and approve the bylaws of all of our boards and commissions. Yeah. So, okay.
If you want to just add language to that, right. I think it's fine.
Yeah. Okay.
It needs to be in there.
Correct. Councilperson Mutchland and Councilperson Hanson.
This may be a question for the mayor. It's difficult sometimes to fill advisory boards at times, commissions and such. And every condition we put on membership decreases the potential pool. For example, members of a nonprofit locally here, I mean, you know, I don't know how they're. So I'm just looking for you. Does this create difficulties by narrowing it down, or should it be a much broader membership?
Well, considering that this board came out of the brainchild of the nonprofit forum that we had that was well attended by many members from our nonprofit community. I'm optimistic that we can find people that would fulfill that requirement.
And that's all I needed to hear.
Yeah.
Typically, history shows us new boards and commissions are staffed readily with lots of people. It's when they go on and on and people
lose interest. And this one has ready-made revenue.
Correct.
Which the other ones don't necessarily have.
Correct. So okay. We hope so. We are thinking positively. Councilperson Hansen?
Two nonprofits. Then you name two nonprofits which must have a representative. Both the Heritage Society and the Old Settlers are nonprofits in the community. There's no designation that a member from the Heritage or Old Settlers, once appointed, could be the representative of the other 501c3, or are they separate?
So in the ordinance, it says no organization can be represented by more than one representative on the board. How I would interpret that is that somebody is there representing the Heritage Society or the Old Settlers Association to fulfill that requirement. If somebody else is involved in those organizations and wants to apply as a member of the public.
Not my question.
Okay.
My question is, you have a limitation of two 501c3s.
Yeah.
May the Old Settlers Heritage representative fulfill one of those positions?
No, that is separate than the two.
So there will be three non.
There will be three nonprofits represented on. Thank you. Represented on the board. Conceivably, all five members of the board could be involved with nonprofits in some way or another. But in terms of requirements, yes.
But would a future commission interpret it that way?
It
looks like you could have.
I'm not
how I interpreted it either. So.
So are you asking there probably should be more specifics in there that clearly states what you were talking about?
Yes.
You can represent, say, Old Settlers, but then you can't also have an Old Settler representing.
No, that's not what I meant. What I meant was you have specifically two nonprofits. May one of those positions be filled by an Old Settlers person officially the Old Settlers?
No, because they would be represented twice. Because
no, they wouldn't.
Suppose Heritage was the one person. Old Settlers, Heritage got the job.
Okay.
But Old Settlers apply as one of the nonprofits.
Well, that's one of the questions. That's not my specific question.
Okay.
My specific question is...
All right, that's it. Let's
you have an Old Settlers... You have established an Old Settlers / Heritage member.
Yes.
Okay? Do you now have the possibility of two additional nonprofits, one additional nonprofit? May the Old Settlers Heritage position fulfill one of the nonprofit positions?
No.
That doesn't say that.
I would argue that it does say that. It says that two members are required to be representatives from nonprofits, and then one member. Okay, all right, I see where you're
going. So let's clearly state that.
Yeah.
What he's saying is, let's clearly state.
I don't care one way or the other.
Yeah, no, but no, we see where you're going.
Yeah.
So we're going to, and that's why we have meetings. Let's clearly state that. So someone reading it can understand, okay, I'm a member of Settlers, and that doesn't mean I can be here.
I think the addition of a separate member. The word separate might.
So we're
well,
all
that. I'm not going to try and put words in Mel's mouth here, but I think the thought process here is you've got a representative from, I don't care which, Heritage or Old Settlers, one of the two. Could Mel be a representative from Kiwanis when he's also a member of Old Settlers?
Oh, I would think absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. You can. People can be. We're a small community. People are involved in lots of different nonprofits. If they are the representative if they are fulfilling that role on the board, right? So there's one seat set aside for Heritage and Old Settlers. That would be their role, even if they're involved with other organizations. Somebody else could be,
So Councilperson Watson has the floor, then Councilperson Olson.
So only one group can be represented, Old Settlers or Heritage.
Right.
Both can't? Because for, these are four-year terms, right? So for 4 years?
Well, there is one seat reserved for Old Settlers or Heritage. Because remember, these are simply requirements. They are
there
not
are two other nonprofit seats available, so couldn't Heritage or Old Settlers apply for them?
Yes, because...
Or they can be in the vacant, the other two seats.
That's
or in the public, yes.
Okay.
It's just that at least one person on that board should be representing the Heritage or the Old Settlers Association.
So there's no reason that both couldn't be represented.
Right. Okay. We can have an overabundance, but not an under.
Thank you.
Councilperson Olson.
Do we need to send this back to add the stuff, or do we, because we obviously aren't going to approve this, but we have some omissions.
Well, you could make a motion to approve it with the following changes.
I'm still scratching my head on what they were trying to say.
Okay, I think there is some kind of confusing semantics, and so I don't think we're in a rush.
No.
Why don't we clean up the semantics of it?
I'll move to send it back to staff and committee.
Yeah.
Okay, and then we have the wording on the rules and that, and then I think it's good.
Did we have a second?
Second,
yes. Yeah.
Before we get to that, there's another whole area that I'd like to explore before.
Okay.
I would like the committee to also...
Councilperson Hansen, you have the floor.
There were others ahead of me.
Go ahead.
I'm bothered by the fact that we have not allowed the chamber to be an official seat on this. I don't care that they're a tenant. They're there every day during the weekday, often in the weekends. They have a huge role in this. I don't know what the objection necessarily was. However, I have a suggestion that the chamber be an official, but it not be one of the staff members, it be one of the board members. So the chamber would be represented by a board member that is not a staff member, not a chamber staff member.
So chamber becomes a board member.
So, clerk, listen, we voted, well, we haven't voted to table it yet. So,
well, no, they made the motion to send it back to committees, but
they haven't voted yet.
Correct.
So he could add an amendment if he gets support before it goes back. Am I correct?
Well,
don't need to
literally. He doesn't need to. It's going back to work on it.
But we could have the.
He's provided direction that he would like to see that.
Second, now we can have a conversation. You have the floor.
Well, okay, then I think I already spoke my piece, but just to finalize that, they have such a major role in that building. I mean, yes, they are a tenant of ours. Anything that's going to happen in that building is going to affect the change, and whether it's a minor way or a major way. To take them out of the decision-making process. You know, we let them in terms of advisory, but to take them out of official just seems wrong to me. They're there. And I personally would like to see the five-member board have an official member from the chamber board.
So still be five. But one seat
is
still chamber.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we had quite a bit of discussion in committee. Councilperson Watson, you have a comment?
I would support that, actually. I think because they're there all the time, they're going to be watching all the events happen. I think they'll have that institutional knowledge of what's working and what's not working. So when it comes time to try and tweak the events or what kind of supplies you need, I think I would like them to be able to vote.
Does anyone from that? Okay. We have a member of the committee that will have a comment of where they went to this direction. Councilperson Ingram?
Well, we went in this direction because of several little reasons, but I would support it. But I think I would rather see one of the staff members, because frankly, Mel, the board members don't know diddly squat about what's going on down there.
Neither do the people of the Old Settlers or the Heritage or the community out there.
But, I mean, if you had somebody like Kelsey or in there as their representative, she knows what's going on there every single day.
I've sensed that it was that the reason that the chamber was left out was because there was an issue with paid staff being involved on this board. I don't.
I don't have any heartburn either way. I can live with it either way.
Yeah, I could do
whatever you want to do.
Is there consensus? We'll add this in, and then we'll rework language. We'll bring it back for your formal vote. Is there consensus to just do this way, or Councilperson Mutchler?
I don't have a strong conviction. Well, I'm wondering if, again, I like flexibility for the mayor. If it could be any chamber member, not necessarily a board member, there might be a member in the chamber that's really into that stuff. Why couldn't he or she? The second issue I have is, would he or she be the, would you be taken away from an at-large position and removing it from one of the nonprofit positions? I lean for more flexibility, so I'd rather see us take away one of the nonprofits and let that be a chamber member, so that there are two at-large. So they're kind of two separate issues.
So still five total, but we're just taking...
Due to the clarification, you're still going to have two nonprofits, even if you take one away.
Because the
chamber is not a nonprofit. Chamber is a different kind. It's a 501c6 or some crazy.
Some silly thing.
Then you would still have two at large.
In speaking to the flexibility thing, we could make it the same way it is about the nonprofits, where they just have a letter of recommendation.
Why don't you work it out and bring it to committee, and we'll see how it goes.
I like that.
Okay, I think we have consensus where staff to take this. So okay. And then we'll probably bring it back by the next council meeting.
Thank you for your feedback.
So we still need to vote on the motion to send it back to committee.
Right. Oh, yeah, very true. Thank you. Yeah. So before you, the vote to bring it back to committee, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Seeing none, passes 7-0. It's back to committee, and we'll come back for the October 5th meeting. Okay, resolution honor the colors. This one is exciting. We'll bring the police chief up to explain this. Are you going to explain it? We'd be honored to have you come up and talk about this honor. Does everyone have a cold in Ferndale today?
Yes.
I don't.
I don't. Stay away from me.
Do you want to see the resolution?
Yes.
Partially done by you, I might add.
Yeah.
What happened is that we had a visit a couple of weeks ago from a gentleman who brought his grandson to the grand opening of the police station a couple of years ago, and the young man was so impressed and had such good memories of that incident that their grandfather wanted to do something and take some opportunity to express his appreciation. And he went by the station a couple of weeks ago and noticed the flag was tattered. And he had a flag, and the flag was a memorial flag presented to him upon the death of his father, a veteran. And he asked if the police department would fly that flag in honor of his father and to dignify the colors. And so, indeed, we accepted that and immediately brought the old one down, hoisted the new flag, and I sent him a thank you letter and an acknowledgement that we would publicly acknowledge his generosity and his wonderful patriotism. And then we thought, why not make this the Flag City an opportunity for others to participate in this? And so this wonderful resolution, so artfully crafted by the clerk, provides this opportunity for citizens who on their own wish to purchase a flag, hopefully from the American Legion, or if they have a flag that has been presented to them as a memorial, that they would give it to the city, and then the city would acknowledge it on the official website, and we would have a list of those contributors so that they could not only honor their antecedents, but honor the flag as well. And so this resolution would authorize the city to receive those flags and then to fly them on one of its six public flag staffs to suitably honor the donor.
Okay, any questions from staff on this? Councilperson Watson?
So are we doing what they do with the Capitol, where you fly them for a couple of weeks and then you give them back with a certificate?
Actually, at the Capitol, as you know, they fly 200 to 300 a day.
Yes, go up there and then send you the
And they hoist them down. No, these would be flown. There are three types of flags, as you know. There's this cotton, nylon, and polyester. The polyester is the most expensive. It is not a good winter flag because it becomes heavy. A nylon all-weather flag would be the best choice. So if the flag we received was a polyester in the winter, it probably would not be flown until the spring. And then we would fly it until foul weather. And we would simply provide, if it was at the police department or city hall, a sort of an inventory so that we would know when to hoist it back up. They would all be standard. They're 4x8 or 3x5 standard.
I think they're 5x7.
They come in 3x5,
4x6.
And 5x7, they have the large ones are 30.
The 3x5s are smaller.
They are small.
3x5s are what we put on the street.
Yeah,
yes.
That's right.
And we sell a lot of those at the Legion, as I recall.
Yeah, 4x6 is the most common for a commercial building.
Of course, that specific is not part of the resolution, is it?
No.
This would be for the flag staffs. The flag,
I don't think it makes it.
Councilor Hanson, you have the floor.
I'm sorry. If you receive a flag from
that's a 5x7, I believe.
I was going to say, you're going to fly that flag irregardless of the size.
You bet. But I think those are the 5x7. They break the column.
I believe that's great.
Okay, the dimensions are not part of the resolution. Councilperson Ingram and then Councilperson Olson.
Well, I love this, the idea of this program. The only thing I would maybe suggest, or at least put in for consideration, is if we get a flag from a citizen that is honoring a deceased veteran, could we fly it at the veterans pool?
It would be a great idea.
If it's specifically honoring a deceased veteran, we've got a Veterans Memorial Park with a 30-foot flagpole, and I can think of no place else better to fly that flag.
Absent, I would think, a particular request that it be flown from some flag stamp, I think that would be...
We don't need to have that specific part of the resolution.
Well, we can make that all part of policy in support of the resolution.
Yeah, okay. Councilperson Olson?
When no longer serviceable flags will be disposed of with proper ceremony by the American Legion in accordance with is that just our flags or is that member of the public's flags?
No, we get hundreds of flags in the American Legion. We have them stored. And they're burned during a regular ceremony.
Okay, so the public can bring them to the Legion.
Yes, and they do.
Okay.
They also bring them to Ace. We have a box there.
Oh, okay.
And if the Ferndale Arts Commission ever got up and did what we suggested they do 4 years ago, we have at the post office in Pioneer Park two of the old-style olive drab drop boxes, mailboxes. And talking to the postmistress 3 years ago, she said we could have one. And the Arts Commission was volunteering at one time to paint it red, white, and blue and put flag drop on it and set it over by City Hall.
Yeah. Don't you kind of know the President of the Art Commission on an intimate basis?
I've asked that about a half a dozen times, but I just...
Moving on. We're going to let that problem happen in the confines of their own household. Councilperson Hanson, Councilperson Olson.
Did you develop the procedures on this? This resolution is not the final. I mean, if someone has a deceased veteran and wants to fly it for a month and get the flag back, I think we should...
Absolutely. I think this is indeed a project that's in progress and that we should be somewhat creative.
Absolutely.
I agree with that.
Totally. Councilperson Olson.
I'd like to move Agenda Bill 1509-007 for approval.
Thank you.
And who seconded it first? And Councilperson Ingram seconded. Thank you. Further discussion. Oh, here we go. Councilperson Goodman.
I just have a quick question. I only came up with five flagpoles. Where are the six?
Public.
Okay, that's the one I missed. Okay.
Okay. Any further questions on the resolution?
River Walk probably wouldn't be. Because it's way too big.
Any further comments on the resolution before you to be voted on? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Motion carries 7-0. Okay, so we'll bring up, this is the next one, is approval of the keyless entry. And our, Bo, would you like to stand up and be ready for questions? Or does anyone have any questions? Maybe we'll make that simple.
I'll make it simple. I move that we approve the adoption of keyless entry.
I love your style. And it's seconded by Councilperson Hansen. Okay, any further discussion? Councilperson Goodrich.
I just like the idea of the FOB system. I had it at one of the assisted living places I worked at. It works great. And I like the fact that we're using some security solutions. Very good company. I've worked with them before and on the FOB thing. And
it solves the problems of the community center.
Yeah.
It
does,
actually. Okay. Any further discussion? Seeing none. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 7-0. And it was all because we really didn't want to
hear
Bo
talk.
Not that we don't love you today. Yeah, there you go. Okay.
Well, I mean, we would have had lots of questions.
Okay, next up, a resolution, hazard mitigation plan approval.
This was previously approved by council back in August on the consent agenda. The county asked for a copy of the minutes showing that it had been approved, then came back about a week ago and said, oh, we actually need that to be approved by resolution. So it's
the no credits if we do it?
I don't think so. So it's basically something that, I
move that we approve Agenda Bill 15-09-009.
I didn't even have second. To say all that. You were ready to move it already.
I think I have Councilperson Olson as the first second, but you're all doing a good job being up on it. No, any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion carries 7-0.
Francesca will be very happy.
Yay, we're happy. Okay, we're down to mayor reports. The one report is at Small Cities Caucus. You'll see it probably published. The county executive is going to come present us Bellingham's plan. Members of the Small City Caucus, which are the small city mayors, we had a couple conversations today. We don't expect to have any vote. We don't intend to change our program. We don't intend to change our agreement that we have already. That still goes. Obviously, it seems to be still confusing with voters is that if we approve this and the vote is approved by the voters, Bellingham would still get their share of the money, as would Ferndale get their share of the money, and we would still move forward with a smaller jail. I would like to hopefully come from the meeting tomorrow telling you the number, because the number seems to change every other day, and I'd really like to go into the vote knowing what is the number, so hopefully we'll do that tomorrow. But we have no anticipation of any change to our contract with what we're seeing from Bellingham. We'll learn about their contract, we'll read about it, but we expect no vote on that contract.
So. I don't understand what you just said. They're going to change the beds?
No, we haven't. We've had this number of if it appears that we will never have an agreement with Bellingham before the vote in November. It just won't happen.
So be it.
And so the what we'd like to know is right before the vote, it's been 390, it's been 391, it's been 401.
Didn't the agreement specifically spell it out?
I thought it was 388.
383.
It did, okay.
It did.
Correct.
They can't alter one bed of the agreement without violating.
You are exactly okay. Correct. And so, you know, it's like we are going tomorrow. I guess to explain it to you is that we are going with no anticipated changes in the contract that is we have approved and assigned.
Hopefully, we'll make that very clear to them. Otherwise, we're right back to where we were because ours is null and void.
Correct. At least, and then we'll see. One council member attended the Bellingham meeting, but I guess that agreement has changed a couple times. So we'll hopefully hear from Bellingham of what their latest addition is, but we anticipate no vote happening. So
Again, though, you know, hopefully the voters understand that whether you're a fan of diversion or jail or whatever, both need funding, and the vote will go forward. Okay, council reports. Any council reports? Councilperson Watson.
Oh, we had a great art in the park, a little less than 400 people. About half the people came from Ferndale, and about 25% of them came from Bellingham. And maybe about another 20% from just about everywhere. Some in the county, and then we had California, New Zealand, Wenatchee,
Montana.
New Zealand?
Yeah.
Wow.
And it was a very successful event. It, really
it was a
nice
blast. Day. It was a hoot.
And so I understand that Pine and Pavilion worked out spectacularly.
It was wonderful. And having the cabins open at the same time, people stayed. They listened to music for a couple hours. They went out and checked out the cabins. And on Sunday, they had the
Farmer's
Market to go
yeah.
to as well. So
it was just phenomenal. It was great.
And the artists were all very happy because people stayed for hours this time because we were inside in one spot and they could just sit and listen to music the whole time. So the venue was amazing.
Yeah.
Way to Sweet. Go. Thank you. That's great. I love hearing stories like that. Any other council reports? Councilperson Ingram and then Councilperson Goodrich.
It was a busy weekend. Saturday was Ferndale Community Meal, so I cooked there until 1 o'clock and then ran over to Art in the Park and stayed there until whenever we closed the doors, I went down. Sunday was National Drive Electric Week in Bellingham, and we had just an absolute ball. There were over 35 electric vehicles there, and hundreds of people just came out to look at them and figure out what's this thing all about. And do these cars really go fast enough to stay on the freeway? And we kind of proved that they did.
You're on the Bellingham Herald video.
Yeah, I know. So it was fun. We had a lot of fun. And then we went back to Art in the Park. So.
Good job. Councilperson Goodrich?
I have some sad news in a way. My wife's father passed away Thursday. And so she's down in California right now doing that. We have the funeral set up. So, therefore, I will be at committee meetings next week, but I will not be at the next council meeting. Okay. It will be down in California for the funeral.
Okay. Thank you for informing us. We wish your family well. Any other council reports? No? Seeing none? Okay, we're going to move on to department reports. Finance director?
Nothing.
Community development director?
Tomorrow, I think you all got the email, we have the joint elected meeting up in Linden. Begins at 3. We've also been really busy in the city. A lot of permits still coming in, going out, so that's good. Wanted to give you a heads up. You know, we always talk about public notification, how it's important to us, and we see the other agencies are sometimes have snafus as well where they don't inform by accident everyone. So on Friday, we were informed by a property owner of a comment period through the Army Corps of Engineers for the Lemmy Nation's proposed development south of Slater Road, which would be a convenience store and fuel pump, where the permit is for wetland impacts. And the deadline for comment was yesterday. The proposal shows 3 access points from city right-of-ways where we are the property owner and the closure of Cope Road. So clearly it's a mix-up. So we commented, and we expect that our comment will be heard by the Army Corps and that there will be a public hearing to make sure that all wetland issues and alternatives have been analyzed.
I thought they were already working on their truck stop down there.
They have the permit to move in dirt, so they've been moving in dirt, but they haven't.
Dirt's been going in and out.
Yeah, they haven't had a
across the street.
They had, that was a different, okay. Different permit. So, clerk's office?
Nothing.
Public information office?
Two quick points. The Star Park Volunteer Organizing Committee is meeting tomorrow at 2 o'clock in the City Hall Conference Center, where we're going to start figuring out our volunteer needs for making that happen. And then the other thing is that we've created a weekly media list where we're sending out weekly updates to help spread the good news about Ferndale. And so far the feedback has been really positive on that. He says, glancing nervously at the media members in the audience.
We're beyond council.
Why does this something or just clicked in my
head. Councilperson Goodrich.
On behalf of the Heritage Society, Saturday morning, it should be fairly interesting. The Mountain View School is moving from Alcoa via Slater and Ferndale, and then they're taking down gates.
So let's stop.
Yeah, be careful.
Let's do that. It is the antique Mountain View School that ceased being a school in the early 60s, not the Mountain View School.
Not the, yeah.
The historic.
It's the historic one.
It's about half the size of this room.
So it'll be being trucked and moved along Slater and in the Pioneer Park Saturday. So that should be an interesting.
It'll actually.
Post says no.
Yeah, it'll.
No, that's not happening.
It's going to get close. It'll make the final leg of its journey on Monday.
So it'll be what on the ball field or something or down.
Yeah, they're going to park it in the Birchmont House parking lot, the big one. The senior center has a big bingo festival. Saturday, so when I went over and spoke with the folks about using the parking lot to transport the school, they thought that might be a problem for all the people parking there. So we changed it, rescheduled the drop in the park for Monday to avoid traffic impacts at the
school.
Okay. It's a huge fundraiser.
Thank you for getting involved.
I forgot to mention that too.
Let's go back and see the
mention. Spaghetti dinner, bingo. I think it starts at like 1 o'clock in the season.
1 o'clock Saturday at Bingo at Senior Center. It's just open to public spaghetti feed,
yep.
And then you play bingo afterwards.
Bingo.
It's a lot of fun.
That's all I know is spaghetti and bingo.
Okay. There you go. If you're looking for, you know, a real wild big thing for your high school children, I'm sure that'll do it. Bingo and spaghetti. What could be better?
If you just can't get enough of spaghetti, community meal is Saturday, and I'm serving spaghetti soon.
Okay, so it's officially pasta day in Ferndale on Saturday.
Carbo load.
There you go. Okay, we have left reports from the police department.
To set the record straight, the flag convention is 5:40, and that flag will set. Otherwise, we'll be from 5:40.
And again, the specific cloud, the specific dimensions of the flag are not part of the resolution.
What is that meter?
Thank you.
Okay, that's it? Great. Okay, I would, since there is no executive session, entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? We are adjourned.